Dermot and Dave.
Conversation, crack,
and the music you love.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
Today FM.
Have you ever had a friendship that doesn't quite feel right? You might dread seeing this person or telling them about what's going on in your life. You could be in a toxic friendship. Here to tell us more about toxic friendships is therapist and owner of Unfurl Art Therapy, Ciara McKeown. How are you, Ciara?
Hello.
So first up, what is a toxic friendship?
A toxic friendship is one of those friendships where somebody is not really interested in you, but what they can get from you. And after you've been in the company of that person, you feel like you need to go and have a lie down. They're not really giving you anything. They're just taking. They're draining your battery.
So what would be examples then of maybe the types of conversations that you would have with a toxic friend?
Well, they're one way and they involve someone else doing all the talking and you doing all the listening. And they might be along the lines of, oh, my God, my relationship is so terrible. Let me tell you all about it again. And you'll nod and smile and you'll be very available. And once that's done, they will have no interest really in asking you about your day or your life or your interview that's happening. So it's all very one-sided, very lopsided, energy draining.
And is it that you would not only listen, but would also validate whatever position they held in the argument? Would a toxic friend take, you know, well to, for example, some, you know, criticism of going, well, actually, maybe if you did this, your relationship wouldn't be so bad. Is that not going to work?
Oh, you're definitely not going to, that's definitely not going to go down very well. You're there to nod your head and smile and say, oh, you poor thing. Really, that's the aim of the game.
Right. And so in this situation, if someone is listening to this today and they're going, oh my God, that is me and my friend, whoever. Is it a situation that can be remedied or is it a situation that just needs to go away?
It depends on how good you are at addressing issues. A lot of people will go to great lengths to avoid conflict. I think that's a lot of us actually. So you can either bring it up and you might say to your friend, you know what, when we hang out together, you do a lot of talking, but you don't really show very much interest in me. And I feel like you don't really care. You're not really interested in me. Now, a good friend will say, oh my God, seriously, I had no idea I was doing that. Thank you for letting me know. And I will really make my best efforts to you know, make it more reciprocal. Whereas a friend who is not really into sharing the power will say, oh, you're just so sensitive. And they'll push it back onto you and make you the problem.
You're the toxic one.
That's one way of addressing it. And another way that I like, which is for anybody who doesn't like conflict, because I'm an art therapist. So I would say, right, you do a little matchstick person, on the page, and you put the name of the person who's upsetting you underneath it. And then in the quiet of your bedroom, you have the conversation with them, that little matchstick person, and you tell them everything that's bothering you. And it really helps to unburden yourself of all the feelings that you're holding in. Mm. And it's actually, it's quite a release.
You say that toxic friendships tend to sneak up on you. What do you mean by that, Ciara?
Well, if friendships started out a one-way street like that, you'd probably cut them off straight away. You know straight away that they're not, something's not right. But over time, somebody will slowly lean into that place where they are doing all the taking. And it happens gradually, where suddenly it's like you don't even exist anymore. You're purely there to service their needs. So that's kind of when it gets late in the game.
And do you think those people who are the, I suppose, protagonist in this relationship, do you think they're aware of it? Or is it something that they're just doing because this is how the dynamic of the relationship has gone? Or is it literally a predetermined effort on their part to be toxic?
That's great. That's such a good question. I would say that a lot of the time people don't know they're doing it. And if you draw attention to it, then they may realize, or they'd be quite shocked actually to hear it.
Mm.
So they're in a position now to change their behavior. But for other people, it's what they've always done. It's how they operate. They've always got their needs met that way. They're not interested in changing now.
Right.
Is a romantic relationship liable to go toxic as well? And what do you do in that situation?
Oh, my God. You really want to get me started on this? This is my hot topic. Relationships can be so, so toxic and so difficult to get out of. And they tap into our our core beliefs about ourselves, about what we think we deserve, they can be very, very complicated to get out of. It's very complicated to even work out what's going on when you're in it, because you're getting fired up, you're reacting all the time, all the time. Definitely, I would recommend, if you are in a relationship that you suspect is toxic, you find a really good therapist to work with, because you need to work through it as it's happening so that you can understand what boundaries you need to, what's happening and what boundaries you need to set in place that bring a bit of, that you empower yourself in the relationship.
Mm. Yeah, a bit of balance is what sounds like it's needed there.
And what about family members? Because sometimes, you know, we're biologically stuck to the siblings, our parents that we have. You know, do we need to approach things a little bit differently in terms of family?
If we're living in the same house with them, yes, because we can't just cut them off. If we're not living with them, we can set really firm boundaries. We don't have to answer every call that they make. We can answer their calls within certain hours. If we're living with family members, we have to create boundaries for ourselves around what's okay and not okay. And even if the other person doesn't respect or listen to what you're saying, it is so empowering to speak up and say, when you walk into my room like that, you don't knock, I feel disempowered, or I feel very vulnerable, or, you know, and you state your case. When you do this, this is how I feel. Please knock before you come in, and you get to set the boundaries. And that's part one, really, of empowering yourself in a living situation.
Mm. Do you think, in terms of family members, sometimes we stick it out a bit longer than maybe we should because, you know, they're family, and it always comes back to that?
Yes, we definitely do. And then we get to a point in our lives, well, hopefully we get to a point in our lives where we have to put our own needs first, and we have to go, okay, look, I know that my mum or dad, you know, had a tough upbringing, or that they've got all these other things going on, but actually, when they speak to me in that way, I feel completely worthless. I feel completely invalidated. I actually need to take a break from them for a while and just surround myself with people who get me, who understand me, who it's give and take. There's equality in our relationships.
You mentioned earlier on drawing the stick person and then writing the name and then, you know, unloading onto the canvas, as it were. What is it about art that is so therapeutic for people when they find themselves drawn to art therapy?
A lot of the time we're stuck in mental loops. Have you ever been with a friend who just tells the same story over and over and over again, but they don't seem to be able to move on?
Yeah, Man United will get better. It'll come around. We're nearly there. We're playing a better style of football now. I mean, they're so delusional.
I know. And then you say to them, okay, and so let's have a look on, let's put that on the page. Let's have a look at what it feels like. And then the person puts it on the page, and now it's out of their head. They're not stuck in a mental loop. They're looking at a picture of themselves there on the page with a big ball of anger in their stomach, or feeling very deflated and empty. And now they look at themselves. Oh, it actually stops the thinking in its tracks. And now they see themselves from a bit of a distance. There's a distance between you and the image on the page. Oh, and now we can go, well, what does that little person on the page need? What is it that they need? And then you can go, they need to just stop running after everybody else.
Okay, I accept it. Man United are a mid-table team. Okay, you've cracked my head. Well done.
He just keeps drawing a wheel on the page, saying, Ali.
Kieran McKeown, therapist and owner of Unfurl Art Therapy. Thank you so much for shedding light on toxic friendships today. Really appreciate it. See you later.
Take care. Bye.
Bye. If you want to look up Kira, you can find her on Facebook on Unfurl Art Therapy.
Dermot and Dave. Weekdays from 9 a.m. Today.